to have, that we have an issue in halacha, which is raised by the word of God, as to actually believe a shofet of shtita, in the case of shtita, in the case of esad yisura, in the case of esad yisura, we do not say, ereva ne'eman yisura. So last time we went through two teruts, the teruts of the Baal HaTosfos and the Rashi, that we have over here in standard viyado. So the viyado that goes in the back of the sin, the shofet could have checked in properly, it was in his hand. Therefore, we are going to believe him. Has Bibles of the Sinyan, and as such, it has unique landmarks. The second teret was that really we don't believe a shochet if he's a regular run of the mill Jew. But if he's a super Neman, if he's someone who's more Kashrus, that's already different, and that overrides the size of Yisura, and that's the whole basis, the Hora, for Mashiach. There are some who say that that's, you know, to solve the problem of size of Yisura, and some say in general that nowadays, the people have lost the Yirat Shemayim, and one needs that special level of hashkafa in order to be able to guarantee kashrus. However, we pointed out last time at the very end of the Chabura that there's another shita as well, that of Rabbi Baruch, is quoted at the end of the Mordechai, that the rov mitzumetzel shita mumchemhei, this rov, that's what overrides the Yisazi Kisura and brings back into the world of Eidechad Ne'eman Bizu. What is this rov mitzumetzel shita mumchemhei? What kind of a rope is it? Where do we find it exactly in the sugya? What are the ramifications of Romans Vinzel Shita Mukhmehe? So, in the Maram Kama, some of you asked for expanded Maram Kama, so I gave out another sheet with brackets where things were expanded. We have a sugya at the very beginning of Kulim where the Mishnah appears to be pulling us in two opposite directions. On one hand, the Mishnah says, Hakol Shochtim. That's a language of Lechatila. Then the Mishnah continues, Shlitas of Shera, that's the language of Bidiyavim. And so the Amarayim have a party with this Mishnah, and every Amara gives his understanding of where do we have a Lachatlila and where do we have a Bidiyavim. We have, from that base on it's Rabba Barhula, and Abaye, and then Rabba, and then Ravashi, and finally, the Torah of Hasinas HaGemara, we have come into the picture, and he gives us two Perushim on the Mishnah. One of those two Perushim on the Mishnah, the first one, is as follows. Hakol Shochtim, if the Shochet is a Mumche, he's known to have a come to know Hilchos Shlita. He was tested, he has his test results. If he's a Mumche, he can check the Chatzila. However, if the Shochet is an unknown individual, someone suddenly rides into town, and begins shechting, you have no idea what his background is, then we have to check him, says Rabbi. We have to check him out before allowing him to shech. And if for some reason we missed checking him before he began to shech, we have to check him after he shech, before we even meet. And if we missed it altogether, he came into town, shechted and left, he's not around. We didn't check him before, and we didn't check him after, then says Rabbi, you can't eat his meat, unless there were acherim roim also. If we had people who watched him while he was shechting, then shlitas of shera b'diyeve. So the l'chatzila is a mumcha, and the b'diyeve is an eino mumcha with a cheirim roa mumcha. That's the way Rabbi learns the Mishnah.
The l'chatzila mumcha is that
we know
he's a prior knowledge.
Prior knowledge, we've seen his test results. That's the way Rabbi learns the Mishnah. The Gemara says, kuhu k'ravina. No one else will learn Ravina. Neither Ravashi, nor Ravaya, nor Rabba, nor Rabba Rabula. No one else learned like Ravina. Why? The Gemara continues, this is a point that came on the days, because Rav Mitzumetzel Shlita Mumchemhei. Because all the people are going hold of this Rav, and this Rav undermines Ravina. The question is, what does it mean this Rav undermines Ravina? What, according to the Rav Mitzumetzel Shlita Mumchemhei, and an unknown Shochet comes into town, what about Bedika? Do we have to check him? Don't we have to check him? When should we check him, etc.? We have a three-way Machlokes Rishonim. And from this Machlokes Rishonim, we'll be able to understand a little bit more about the whole nature of Rov. Let's start off chronologically. The first Shita that we have, the earliest Shita we have, is the Shita of the Gaonim. The Shita of the Gaonim, we find also in the Rit, we find it in the Rava. The Rosh quotes the Shita of the Gaonim. That's what we'll call mainstream. mainstream shita is the shita of the Gaonim. And the Gaonim say as follows, that they say a twofold halacha. Hey, one nachgemina of Rabbi Simeon shita mumkin is before shita. Before shita, say the Gaonim, there is no need to check the shochet because he's probably a mumcha, and we can check him afterwards. Namely, we have the right to postpone the medika of this of the shochet after the shita, because probably the results are going to be okay. It's like, you know, someone else that comes to the yeshiva and he tells he's learning the mirror for the last 6 years. So you say, okay, go into shir now, and afterwards we'll give you, send you to the book, we'll send you to Rav Ezra to see where you really belong. Because probably you're going to belong where you're going to end up. So we can test you afterwards, because Rabbi Zinei Zashlita Mumchen. That's what, number one. We have the right to postpone the Medika. There's no need to be voting before Shlita, we can vote after Shlita. After Shlita, here we have another application of Rabbi Zinei Zashlita Mumchen. If he's around, we'll check him. Because after all, why, in other words, why be Samach on a road? Let's check him out. However, if he leaves town, we can eat the meat. Because Rabbi Zinei Zashlita Mumchen. So Rabbi Zinei Zashlita Mumchen, according to the Gaonim, has two ramifications. A, we don't have to check him before Shlita. And B, even after Shlita, only if he's around do we check him. If he's no longer around, we can eat the meat without checking him. Namely, Ravina says you have to check before. And if you don't check before, you have to check after. So the Gaonim are holding totally on the first din of Ravina. There's no need to check before. And on the second din, we have to check afterwards. It depends. If he's around, we'll check him. If he's not around, we won't check him. Okay? So they're cholik on one and a half. If Ravina had two halachas, they're cholik on one and a half halachas of Ravina. The second shita, again, going chronologically, is that of the Baal Ha'itur. Baal Ha'itur is one of the early chachamim of Ravas. So the Baal Ha'itur, he holds the opposite of the Gaonim. Mamash, mamash, the opposite. That before shita, you have to check it. And after shita, even if he's around, there's no need to check it. Before Shlita, you have to, so according to the Baal Ha'itur, all the other Amorayim agree halfway with Ravina. Ravina says you have to check him before Shlita. That's what the other Amorayim hold. You have to check him before Shlita. But as opposed to Ravina, who says you don't have to check him, as opposed to Ravina, says that you have to check him also after Shlita, the Baal Ha'itur holds, even if he's around, there's no need to check him. Yes?
Ravina has to check full check before and after?
No, either or. But if you didn't check before, you have to check after. According to the Baal Ha'itur, if you didn't check before, there's no need at all to check afterwards. Okay. And these two shitas, the shita of the Baal Ha'itur is quoted in the Tur, and the shita of the Gaonim is quoted in the Tur, but there's a third shita, that of the Rabbah, the Magia on the Torah Sabayis, the Baal Ha'at, the Berek Habayit, which is not brought in the Tur for some reason, which is not brought in the It's not brought in even in the Beis Yosef, but it's quite clear in the Rabbah, and we'll see that it's brought by the later Achronim. And the Rabbah says that there's no need to check the Shochet at all, before or after, because Rovin makes a Shita Mumkin. I, the Gaonim, said you should check him. The Gaonim, that's a Midas Chasidus, that's a Chumrah. But the Iker Hadin, there's no need to check a Shochet at all. Namely, that according to the Ra'ah, the other Amorim in the Gemara, the Cholik and Ravina, Lach, Stak, and Barrel. Ravina had two halachos, check before, and if not before, check after. The other Amorim say no. Roba says the Shita Mumchen, there's no need to check at all. Okay? So according to the Ra'ah, the other Amorim totally reject Ravina. According to the Baal Ha'itur, they take 50% of Ravina. According to the Gaonim, they take 25% of Ravina. The question is, what exactly is going on over here? Just as an aside, before I mention what's going on over here, if you look with an unjaundiced, without preconceptions at the Rishonim, see, if you read the Beis Yosef, he'll tell you that the Gaonim is like such a mainstream sheet, almost everyone agrees. Rashi agrees, Tosos agree. My humble opinion, Rashi and the Ri also agree with the Rebbe. I've got a little
that they really agreed with the rabbi.
Okay, but what over here is the understanding? What's going on over here? What are the options in terms of Robert Smith and Shita Munkan? What are they dependent upon? So here there's a Marechet of Rav Soloveitchik. I'm pretty sure that it's in the book that was put out on by according to Yerodea of the Rav, in which he points out that the Gemara, a little later on, Chulin, on Daf Yud, says that there are two types of robe that we have in Halacha. We have what's called a Ruba de Issa Kaman, and we have what's called a Ruba de Lesa Kaman. A Ruba de Issa Kaman is like in a Sanhedrin. You have two against one. You have 50 against 20. That's a Ruba, we count up, we count heads. That's a Ruba de Issa Kaman. Or, if you want to, the Gemara gives the example of Tes Chalios. That you're on Rachov Yafo. You're visiting Israel on Rachov Yafo. There are 10 falafel stores on Rachov Yafo. 9 of the falafel stores have a tuda, they have a hechsher. 1 doesn't. Okay? 9 have a hechsher and 1 doesn't. You find a falafel ball on Rachov Yafo. So the halacha tells us, after Mahatos, you can, after you take a proper bracha, pop the falafel ball into your mouth. Why? Because 9 to 1. It's 90% that this came from a kosher store. Acharon lahatos. That's the ruba de issa kamon. We count up. We have 9 and we have 1. We have a robe and a miut. We follow the robe. Acharon lahatos. There's also a concept of ruba de lesser kamon. Ruba de lesser kamon, we don't count. We're dealing with simply some aspect of physical nature or human nature. Robe behemos briosek. I see a cow, right? And I milk the cow. Can I drink the milk? Well, if the cow is kosher, it's a kosher cow, I can drink the milk. If the cow happens to have a hole in its lung, it's a treva, I can't drink the milk. But most cows don't have holes in their lungs. Acharon lahatos, I go ahead and I drink the milk. Right? In other words, we drink milk from cows that are alive. No one gives the cow an x-ray or an MRI to know whether they have holes in their lungs. For some, on a ruba, the lesser come on. The Gemara speaks about the fact that a ben sorer umora can only be killed at a certain point when he's a katan hanaseh gadol, when he's a certain window of his age. What if we don't know when he was born, but we know when his mother became pregnant? So we have a rule that rov nashim yoldos for self test, and when based on that rule, we can deal with our ben sorer umora. We have, in other words, let's say a kid comes from Russia, a very, very free sort of a country, and he claims, this is my father and this is my mother. So his mother, we know who she is, but the fact that his mother was married to this man, who says that man is his father, so we have a rule. Rove behilos eitzel habal. That we have all sorts of robes that are either built into physical nature or built into human nature. That's called the ruba de lesser kaman. We don't count up, but simply this is the overall mitzvah. So the Rav was choker. What is the nature of Acharon lahatos in these two situations? In the situation of Ruba de Issa Kaman and Ruba de Lesa Kaman. Namely, clearly, a rove is minimally a hachra'a. A hachra'a means, and we don't know the truth, but the Torah is telling us how to behave. Namely, this falafel ball, I'm not sure if it's kosher or treif, in reality. However, the Torah tells me I'm allowed to treat it as though it's kosher. That's called a hachra'a. We're machriya the suffix. We have a suffix. The Torah tells us how to practically deal with such a suffix. Or do we say no, that we have over here the Torah is giving us a nevuah, that this is a birur, that the rove is telling us this is the reality. It's not telling us we have a suffix, but we can be machriya the suffix in the following area. This is the mitzius. The mitzius is that this cow that you gave the milk from is a kosher cow, that this child is from this father, that this falafel ball is definitely from one of the 9 stores. So Al-Pisfara, the Rav, and this, we find this also in the Shesh Naisisa, they said as follows, Aruba de Issa Kaman, which is a world probability. Probability is a hafra. It's not necessarily so. It's probability. All of quantum mechanics is based on probabilities. Right? So we say probably, and we have the right to behave as though. Even though we have no idea what this electron really is, but we'll behave as though it's here or here or here or here, and build our theory accordingly. Aruba de Issa Kaman is certainly Akraha. When we come to Aruba de Lesa Kaman, something which is built into nature, then maybe we can say it's a Akraha, or maybe we can say it's even a Birur, and we have Gemaras that appear to be going in that direction. let's say, for example, the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, that if two witnesses come to court, and one witness says that on Wednesday, Ches Elul, on Wednesday, Ches Elul, Reuven killed Shimon. And another witness will come to court and said on Wednesday, Zayin Elul, Reuven came to court and Reuven killed Shimon. On Wednesday, Zayin Elul, Reuven killed Shimon. So the Gemara says that we're going to give Reuven a death sentence based on these two aiding. I, these two aiding are machlish one another. So one said that the murder took place on Zayin Elul, and one said the murder took place on Ches Elul. So the answer is Reuven in Chetoy in the Yarba. Most people are one day off when it comes to keeping track of the calendar, because sometimes you have a Chodesh Molech and a Chodesh Choser. So the fact that we have a contradiction over here on one day, based on the Rov, because of Rov Inche, because human nature is such that a date can be 24 hours off, that's considered to be one Avos and will kill. In other words, we'll give a Chodesh Misa to Reuven based on this Rov. That appears to be a beaver. They were saying, certainly Reuven killed Shimon on Zion/Chesed. We don't say that these two witnesses are dealing with two different acts, two different days, etc., etc. In any case, it's an open question. Comes along the Ramban that I sent you to in the Nechanos and Chulin, and the Ramban says, I'm going to give you a rule. I'm going to give you a rule as to when a Ruba de Lesser Kaman is a Achra, and when a Ruba de Lesser Kaman is a Nibur. The question is, what is the amount of the Nibur? If we're dealing with a ruba the lesser kaman with a mir shev matsui, 70%, 80%, we have 20% to 30%, which disagrees with the rov. To follow that rov, that's a hachra. That's a hachra. Chazal tell us we're allowed to follow a rov of 65%. We're allowed to follow a rov of 51%. A mir hamatsui. Chazal tells us we're allowed to follow the rov. It doesn't mean that's the situation. Aliba the enes. It means that this is the way we're allowed to behave. However, when you have a miyut she'ina matzui, when something is a 98% rov, then we view it as a mitzvus. That's already a mavara. That's already, we take it for granted that that is the reality. And you understand, what's the difference? The difference is, what if we can check it out? Do we have to check it out? If you're dealing with a hachra'ah, namely, we have a suffix. We don't know what to do. So Torah says, go in the following direction. But if we can be mevarer our suffix, if we can check out the reality, why be samach an achra'ah if we can be mevarer? So every robe that has a ruba, that has a mil hamatsui, if we can, we should be mevarer. Like, for example, the falafel bowl. That's a achra'ah. So if we could be mevarer, if we were able to radioisotope this falafel bowl and figure out that, or fingerprint it, figure out the fingerprints are from that falafel owner, etc. Why be samach on a rov if we could do mevarer? But if we're dealing with a ruba the lesser kaman with a mir she'eno matsui, a 99% rov, there's no need to be mevarer because we already have a beaver. The rov is the beaver. There's no need to check it out, and that has relevance. You realize, or could have relevance to our issue. But let's just give the example of the Ramban. The Ramban says, we have a world of trefos. There are 18 trefos that are listed in the Mishnah that make an animal not kosher organically. And when we shech an animal, for 17 out of those 18 trefos, we don't shech. If a woman comes and says, hey, I found the hole in the kurkava, I found a hole here or there, then we'll look into it. But we don't shech to see whether there's a hole, because those 17 places, it's a mid chain of matzah. It's very rare to find a hole in the brain membrane. It's very, very rare to find a hole in the intestine. So we don't bother to check. However, in the lungs of an animal, where there, it's much more likely that there's going to be cirrhosis and all sorts of organic defects. Those we check. Why do we check? Because it's a mid hamatzah. However, if you didn't check it, can you eat the animal? Sure. Aparim lahatos. Namely, the difference between a ruba de isa kaman is always afro, we should always check. A ruba de lesa kaman, when we're dealing with something built into nature, if it's a miyut hamatsui, then it's a hachra, and we the hachilo should check. If it's a miyut she'en hamatsui, then it's a birur, and there's no need to check. You realize that this question is very dependent, in terms of the world of trefos, on the metzius. In America, if you were to go to the, what is it called, the OU claim with the Empire, you go to Empire, they don't check the lungs for chickens. They don't check a single lung of the chicken because the claim is, that the amount of trephos in the lungs of a chicken are mi yishein ha-matsui. Mi yishein ha-matsui, the robe is a viewer. There's no need to check. So you have all these black kosher chickens that were never checked to be black kosher, but we assume they're black kosher because of the mi yishein ha-matsui. However, in Eretz Yisrael, Baruch Hashem, you know, Eretz Yisrael is a world of contrasts. So we go from hot days to cold nights, so the chickens get tuberculosis and all sorts of other diseases. So there you have a miut hamatsui already of problems in the lungs, and so they have to be checked. And so you have an Eretz Yisrael, glatt kosher chickens, means that every chicken was shefted. You have mahadrim chickens, which means that every fifth chicken was checked, spot checked. And then you have regular chickens that their lungs weren't checked because achra lahatos, it's achra. Most of the lungs are fine. Okay, so we have different levels depending upon the Metzius. Now, we have this robe called Robe Metzimeis HaShchita Mukhine. Most people involved in the world of Shchita know what they are doing. What kind of a robe is that? Is that a robe with a Mir HaMatsui or a robe with a Mir Chein HaMatsui? So the Ramban over there, that's the context of the Ramban. In the beginning of, in the Milchamas, in the beginning of Chulin, the Ramban says that Robe Metzimeis HaShchita Mukhine, but there's a Mir HaMatsui of people who are imposters. 80% of the people who are involved in Shchita know what they're doing, 20% are standing in and really don't know what they're doing. Therefore, says the Ramban, that's why we pass it like the Gaonim. Based on the robe, based on the 80%, we can allow the showing to first chef, and then we'll check it. After he chefs, if he's around, we have to check it. Why do you summon a hakra if he's even the Dagger? Because when you have a Mir HaMatsui, that's a hakra. If for some reason he went out of that door, he's no longer around, we can eat the meat based on the hakra. But l'chatchila, we should check, because in the moment that we're dealing over here with a mir hamatsui, that brings about a need to check l'chatchila. Okay, before we continue to the other sheet, that's the conceptual basis of the shita of the Gaonim, that we have a rope. Based on this rope, we're allowed to allow the individual to check first and then check. This is opposed to Ravina. Ravina holds there's no rope. But we hold that there is a rope. After he chefs, if he's around, check it, because the rope is only hakra. If he's not around, we'll be summoned on hakra. Yes?
I still don't understand why the Gaonim wouldn't check beforehand. It's not even
because there's no, because checking beforehand is a tircha. You know, it's time. If you've ever been to a shachtai, time is money. When the assembly line is running, when the goyim are there holding the chickens ready to give it to the shochet, you've got to give yourself a bechina, shia, drasa, chavada. It's going to be going to cause a tremendous loss to the factory. So say, okay, you say you know what you're doing. Bakasha, we'll check you when you finish. But they mean it sincerely. It's not a joke. We'll check you when you finish because we have to check you. But if for some reason this fellow is called away to another shachtos, so then we can eat the chicken. I just sent you in the Maariv Makomos to other places which are considered to be examples of this situation where you have a robe that you can be so mechon. However, if you're mevarer, you should be mevarer. One of them is in Hilchos Tzitzis. Simon Yudalet Halacha Dalet. Over there, the Machaber tells us that if you came to shul, I was down this morning in Zeisman, and the high school was coming into Daven. One of the rabbis of the high school came in. You got to do this house until it. Not into Daven, into the high school, not into Daven at all. So the question is, can he take a talus of someone, or the talus of someone within the talus stick? Can he take the talus out of the talus stick and wear the talus without asking that person's permission? So the Chaver Paskin, Mutar Lito Talus Chavero, Uwe Barech Allah. You're allowed to take it on condition that you put it back the same way you found it, right? Well, that's in Bahadur, right? You have to return it to the talus stick, see how it's folded, and hold it back the same way. What's the heter? It's Zela. Your Shoah Shalami Das. So the Mishnah Rura points out that the heter is that most people are very, very happy to say, do a mitzvah. Do a mitzvah. I'm happy you're doing a mitzvah. I'm happy you're using my talus. So Mishnah Berurah says, the Prima Gadol continues, that if that person is around, ask him. If the person is around, then we ask, who follows this? They say, oh, it's someone, he's in the other room. Don't say, oh, nechay leivish amet ha-mitzvah amonek. Because it's a miut ha-matzu, you have people who are not. Right? Maybe 70% of people are nechay leivish, but as we all very well know, when it comes to your lulav and esrog, lulav and chulav, it could be this person, you know, he had a bad experience once on the talus, it's falling on the string, etc. So you can be sona on the rope if he's not around. If he's around, you have to ask him. Or, another example, he's going again in Hilchos Tzitzis in Perek and Siman Ches, halacha tes. The halacha is that kodem shi yivarech ye'ayin b'chutzei tzitzis im hen kisheru. Today shlo yivarech rachul v'talos. That every morning before you put on your talus, you put the talus over your shoulder and you put your fingers through the strings to be certain that you have all eight strings. They're all there. Question: what's going on over here? They were all there when I put them away yesterday. What are we afraid of? So we have a fear that maybe something happens. Also, the strings and they degrade, etc., etc. So therefore, since you can check it, you should check it. However, if this would interfere with your davening mitzvah, where you're going to miss baruch because you're checking, so then Mishnah Berurah says, don't bother to check because if you can check. Fine, but otherwise, as he pointed out, if it's going to, because of doing the checking first, and you know, then you're going to miss something, so then you have the right to check afterwards. Or a third example, later on in Hilchos Tefillin, Siman Lamed Tes, at the end of the Dior Halacha, O Katan, we have a whole deal in the Achronim. If we happen to have a young man who happens to have a beautiful, beautiful handwriting, and he decides to become a sofer. And at the age of 13 and a half, he is writing parashas of Tefillin. But no one ever checked him out to know whether he is physically mature, to know whether he reached a sarah. We know he reached the age of maturity, but God will be a gadol, you have to be ben yudimo, and he reached a sarah. And in order to be able to write Tefillin, you have to be a gadol. No one checked him out as to whether physically he is a gadol. Are you allowed to use these parashios of tefillin? So the whole dealing revolves around how do we view this issue of how many approximately children are 13 and haven't yet brought shtei saros. This is most children by the time they're 13 are also physically mature. But is there a mida matsui? We should check it out if we can. And if it's a mida she'eino matsui, there's no need to check it out even if we could. Right, so that's the question. It's a kamosha kosa the yoredeya siman halav. This question depends upon the issue of what kind of a rogue it is. I forgot to mention to you that even I sent you to a bir halacha. The Mishnah Berurah himself quotes the shitos a little later on siman nunhei at the end of sifkat amlan halav. Okay, so if you want to see it in the Mishnah Berurah itself. Siman Nune, the end of Sifra Lamed Aleph, he quotes over there the Prima Gadol. Vayim Prima Gadol, just reading to you the Mishnah Berurah, Siman Nune, the end of Sifra Lamed Aleph. Vayim Prima Gadol, Shin Marich, Bazil Masit, the Mishun, the Humiut Hamatsui, Al Kain Hif Miru. Just like by the lungs of the animal, you have to check. So this individual, you also have to check. If it's a mir she'eino matsui, then there's no need to check. I've found the shita of the Gaon. And here is where you move over to the shita of the Rebbe. Let's just skip a minute from the Gaon into the Rebbe. Let's skip the Balaita for a minute. The Ra'ah disagrees ekronit with the Gaon. And if you have the Ra'ah in front of you, He points out that there's no need to do a bedikah neither before shlita nor after shlita. Why? Because lav dafka ro ela kohan mitzui in ka'arina. Dein lacha matzui etzel shlita li'olam ela moncha. Even if we're going to speak about a miyut, the miyut is going to be one in a thousand. that we're dealing over here with a mi'at she'en al matzui. At the moment we're dealing with a mi'at she'en al matzui, then the status of the shofet is already mavur via the rope. The rope tells us that this shofet is a mumkah. So there's absolutely no need, for us to check the shofet before or afterwards. I, the Gaonim, said to check the shofet. That's a mi'at chasidus. The Gaonim went beyond the letter of the law. There was a Rav Henkin Zatzal who was a posek here in America. He's the author of the Luach, which is an old shul, hanging in the big Luach of the Torah, hanging in the shul. It was written by Rav Henkin. Rav Henkin, his grandson lives in Eretz Yisrael. His grandson told us in Eretz Yisrael that his grandfather told him that you're going to be a rabbi, you should know that you should look at the Aruch HaShulchan, not only the Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah was a chassid. By his nature, he was machter. The Aruch HaShulchan was more normal. And so, you know, if you want to know what the halacha really is, look at the Aruch HaShulchan. So that's what the Ra'ah over here said about the Gaon. They were chassidim, they were machter. But the Ikar Hadin, there's no need to check at all. And that's, if you look at the Gra'ah in Yeridei, that's the way he explains the Ra'ah. The Ra'ah says that the miut in the world, the promises of Shidim Mutanheim is a miut, she'eno matzui. Let me give you an example of this halacha of Maisa, where we have a rogue with a miut she'eno matzui and we don't check at all. Let's say you have a woman who has many, many marot that are tahora, namely that when she checks herself, when she has a hargasha, checks herself, it'll be green, it'll be blue, it'll be white, and it'll be a light yellow. You know, this is the way her body functions. The body excludes. Exudes, I'm sorry, various liquids that aren't blood. And let's say this woman is walking on the street and she has like a real hargasha. She has a hargasha that something is coming out of her protozoa. So we say that there's no need for her to check herself, because since when she's not expecting her vessels, when she's not expecting her menstrual cycle, she checked a number of times and she always found a mara which is tahor. So the possibility that this is a mara which is not tahor is a mi'at she'en al matzui. If it's a mi'at she'en al matzui, there's no need for her to check. And these are principles that are used in halacha, in all areas of halacha, in Aor HaChaim, in Yerodea, etc. Okay, just for the sake of completion, the third sheet, the Bala Itur, conceptually is the most difficult. Because we pointed out he's the opposite of the goat. He says before Shlita, check. After Shlita, if the shofet's around, don't check. What's going on? If it's a miyut she'en al matzui, why check before Shlita? If it's a miyut hamatzui, why not check before Shlita? In other words, why not check after Shlita? What's going on? What is the svara over here of the Baal HaEtzur? So you should just be aware that the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch appears to pass from like the Bala Itur, and over there the Gra and the Taz explain that the Bala Itur, the Iker had been old like the Ra'ah. That's a Mi'at She'en al Matzui. The Iker is a Mi'at She'en al Matzui. However, in general, we're only summing up on the concept of Ra'ah, B'dieva, not L'chatzchila. L'chatzchila, before something is going to be an issue, let's check it out. B'dieva, after the issue exists, then there's no need to check it out. It's a different principle. It's a principle of L'chatzchila and B'dieva. It's not a question over here of Mir HaMatzei or Mir She'en HaMatzei. That's just as an aside. The question is, what are the machlokes? Let's say about the Gaonim and the Ra'ah. The Gaonim say that Rav Yitzchak Shita Moshe Hang has a Mir HaMatzei. The Ra'ah says it has a Mir of Kimat Nothing. It's machlokes from Mitzias. The Shochtim were different in the time of the Ra'ah than the time of the Gaonim. And what kind of machlokes? How can machlokes of whether you have a Mir HaMatzei or Mir She'en HaMatzei? It's a reality. So there are two answers to that question. One answer is the classic answer whenever anyone asks you, how can you have a machlokes from Mitzius? You say, it's not a machlokes from Mitzius. Machlokes is where do we draw the line between Matzei and HaMatzei? Let's say everyone agrees that 93% of the Shochtim know what they're doing. Is 7% of Mir HaMatzei or not a Mir HaMatzei? That could be the machlokes. Where is the percentage that's called a Mir HaMatzei? If everyone agrees on the Mitzius, 93 to 7, is that called Mir HaMatzei or Eino HaMatzei? Everyone agrees 98% is Matzir. Everyone agrees that 88%, 98% is Ein Matzir. 88% is Matzir. What about 92%? What about 93%? That's possible, right? You could say that's a Machlokes. However, over here there's a Beis HaLevi. And the Beis HaLevi wanted to explain the Machlokes by opening up our eyes to a whole new perspective on the world of Rov. And he pointed out that when we say Rov Mitsuyim Eis HaShita Mishpatim, what brings about that Rov? What in human nature brings about that Rov? So here he offers two explanations, one of which will fit in beautifully with the Gaonim, and the other one will fit in beautifully with the Ra'ah. And the Ra'ah actually says it black and white, and he quotes the Ra'ah. One option is that we have a rov that most brain surgeons have went to medical school, right? Most brain surgeons go to medical school. Most eye doctors go to medical school. Most college presidents have gone to college. In other words, that people don't get involved in a profession unless they know what they're doing, particularly if it's a profession that requires certain skills. Most car mechanics took a course in knowing where the motor is and where the air conditioning is and how to change the wheel. They took a course. And therefore, that's a rope. It's a psychological rope. People don't like to get involved in areas that they don't know anything about. People generally are not going to be a pilot of an international flight unless they know what they're doing. They can kill people. They kill themselves. However, we all know that every year a new book comes out. I was a brain surgeon for 30 years in a children's hospital in Boston, and no one ever knew that I never went to medical school. Right? But I flew international flights back and forth, and I picked it up on my glider in the backyard. But in other words, you're always going to have these people who are nuts, but who get involved. Right? So that's the concept. That's one option. If we have a psychological mitzvah, that psychological mitzvah, we have a lot of psychological mitzvahs. Ain't of them shows at the coast, Ellen Kane Bosco. We assume people met their wives before they married them. Now, there are always going to be people who are going to marry someone off the internet without meeting them. But the rule is, ain't of them shows at the coast, Ellen Kane Bosco. You don't drink from something unless you check it out beforehand to be sure. Is this Coca-Cola? Is this Sprite? Right? That first you check it out before you drink. You don't drink it blind. You don't get married blind. Those are psychological rope. There's a psychological rove in halacha, which is very powerful. Tad lemeitav tandu, mila meitav armalo. Most women would rather marry someone who was not necessarily the ideal husband than to remain a spinster. So the whole question as to whether that rove still exists in the 21st century. But it certainly existed up to the 20th century. For those who are into rabbinic polemics, Rabbi Rachman, who was once upon a time president of the RCA in America, he came out with a statement that this rove no longer exists nowadays in America, with all sorts of halachic nafkaminas, and the rove got up in RCA convention and said that that's apikorsus, that this rove is built into the ontological nature of woman. You know, it's lotol peyot adam levado, and you can't, you know, it's a rove which is like a halacha moshe misinai, you can't change it, etc. Anyways, it's not so clear that the rope is correct. But I'm just pointing out that these are questions in terms of a rope which is based on a psychological premise. That's one option. The other option, and this is what the Ra'ah says, is that this rope is based on a cheskas kashus, namely that people know. Everyone knows that you can't eat meat instead of the vessel was shechted properly. And everyone knows that halachas of shechita are very, very, very complicated. And that it requires a lot of practice until even when you know the halachas, you're able to do it well. And everyone knows that if I mess up shechita, I'm going to be feeding someone tarfus. And no Jew wants to feed another Jew tarfus. No Jew wants to be responsible in Olam HaEmes for some other Jew's avedus. Those are the two ways of understanding why Rova's Mesel Shita Mumkinen. Either it's because this is a general psychological rove that applies to Shochtim and to car mechanics and to airline pilots and to brain surgeons, or this is a unique ches, this is a unique row which is based on the fact that shechita is a halacha within the world of Isur v'heter, and no one wants to feed another Jew Isur. The base of the lady says, if we're dealing with that first row, then there's a mir hamatzu, we have impostors. For every psychological row, there's going to be someone who will test it, and someone who doesn't want to be part of that row. And if we study psychology, that's you know, if you study normal psychology, abnormal psychology, for every normal person, there's an abnormal person. So even if the row of people in the world are normal, let's assume, but there are a lot of abnormal people around. However, in the world of Cheskas Kashus, that's a given that in a society of Yirei Shamayim, no one is going to get involved in Kashus unless he knows what he's doing. In the language of the Rabbah, the Kol Havatzuni Beis Al Shlita Sokin on a Lomar Shein Mukhim Lefisha Adolam Befur Sabu Di Yisrael Vafi Weitz Ami Haaretz Shehanaveva Asura V'Eir Men Achai Asura Ve'in Tachana Bezela Beshlita Tilkoch Ein Adam Di Yisrael Niskak Tishkot Tishkot Ko'ova Ela Ken Yodea Yilkoch Shlita Ve'eil Dorn Kibor Le'inayim. So therefore, the Rashba who's working with the Rashba and the Gaonim who are working off of the psychological row, for them, Rav Tzimetzel Shlita Mutnahem has a Miyud Hamatzu. Masha'en came there, who's working off of a different row. He's working off of a row of a Cheskas Kashrus. For them, the Rav Tzimetzel Shlita Mutnahem is a Miyud She'en Hamatzu. It's not a Machokas of Tzivus. They're both talking about the same type of row, but they have a Machokas. Is this row 95% or 85%? They're dealing with two different rows. One row is 95%, the Kashrus row, and the psychological row is 85%. That's why they disagreed, because they understood the row of Tzuyim in two different manners. And this has other Nafkaminas as well, and with this we'll conclude. Let's say an individual who is known in the community to be a Mumar Veteyavo. Namely, that he will generally eat kosher meat as long as it's the same price as non-kosher meat. But if there's a sale in Walmart on non-kosher meat at that price, he'll buy the non-kosher meat. He's a mumar v'teyava, or he will eat kosher meat as long as it's tasty. But if he goes to a restaurant where the kosher meat doesn't taste so good and the non-kosher meat tastes fine, he'll eat the non-kosher meat. He's a mumar v'teyava. And this mumar v'teyava tells us that he, when he was young, he studied shita, and he wants to be a shohar. So the question is, do we apply to him Rov Mitzvah Shchita Mutnah? Do we have to test him out, or don't we have to test him out? So, according to, according to the Gaonim, even if he's a Mumar L'Teyavo, he's a human being who has a psychological psyche, and the psychological psyche says you don't get involved in things you don't understand. However, according to the Rabbah, it's a Cheskas Kashrus. This person has no Cheskas Kashrus. He eats treif. Namely, he's not cared about his own Averos. Why should he be cared about anyone else's Averos? Namely, so depending as to where we're coming from, as to whether you can apply Rav Mitzvah Shchita Mutnahem to a Mumar L'Teyavon, that would be an Nafkamina between the Gaonim and the Rav. It's a Machlokes Mishon. Worked out later on in Shulchan Aruch. Or, let's say as follows. Let's say we have someone that we have no idea of his background. And he shechts. And it turns out he messed up the shlita. He shechted, let's say, above the, you have to shecht within a certain area. The shecht in a giraffe is pretty easy. But normally in a chicken, you have to get it straight. And so if you check above that area or below that area, you mess things up. So this fellow, we have no idea of his background. He tells us he worked up a shlita. We have no idea. He shechts below the area and causes a loss to the owner of the chicken. So the owner of the chicken runs to Beis Din and says, this fellow, he messed up my chicken. You know, he owes me $5 for my chicken. And the fellow says, I'm a tavach mumah. A roman to make shlita mumah. I'm a mumcheh. If a car mechanic makes a mistake, doesn't pay for the mistake. In other words, if mistakes happen. When you give something over to one from that, and he makes a mistake. So, me'ikar hadin, he's mutter in a the question is, as the Roman submission should move name, does this have relevance to Chosha Mishpat? We're talking over here in our context in the world of Yoredeya. And we assume that the animal is kosher or not. But we're now asking What about the rule of kosher mishpat, where there's a difference when an amateur chefs or when a pro chefs? When an amateur chefs and messes things up, he has to pay. What right did he have to get involved? When a pro chefs, then he's potter, because that's the nature of a pro. A pro sometimes, every pro has his number of mistakes, and that's taken into account. So it's a machlokes rishon, achronah, but it should depend. If we view Reuven Tsuyim as a psychological road, what would you say should apply to the world of kosher mishpat? And if we view it as a cheskas kashrus, should apply to the world of kosher mishpat? No? Blinking.
No,
psychological role is across the board. It should apply to every area of halacha. It's a mitzvah. However, it's kashrus only has relevance to the world of Isser Ve'Eter. It has no relevance to the world of Chayav and Potter. It's a totally different area. Okay, there are other nachminas as well, but those are some of the nachminas. So here we have then the world of Romans Meisel Shkita Mumchitain and halacha l'maisa. The Machaber Paskins like the Gaon. The Ramo we mentioned Paskins like the Baal HaKippur, who was really like the Ra'a with a Chumrah. However, the Mina Ma'ola, because of these issues, is not to allow a Shochet to Shech unless he shows us a Ketav Kabbalah. We don't take any Shochet at face value. We don't believe him. He has to bring a letter. He has to bring a Ketav, Smicha. When he comes with his cloth, then we'll allow him to show. And so, again, because of being sung up on the road, we have all these questions, when to check it, how to check it, does it require checking? So everything turned into it became institutionalized. That you need a Kitab Kabbalah, that someone who's a shochet says that you know Hilchos Shlita, that you check it in front of him, and that you know what you're doing. Like a Moel, or like a Mahapil. I also need the Ketav before you allow it to be Mahapil. Okay. Next topic we're going to deal with is what happens when we have such an individual who comes to us with the Ketav. He comes to us with the Ketav, and then it turns out that something is wrong. He doesn't know what he's doing. Or he says the Ketav is in the mail. He says, never show us the Ketav. He said, he showed someone. And it turns out he doesn't know what he's doing. What about all the people who ate his meat? What about all their cable? What about the others? What about the vessels that held his meat hot, cold, etc., etc.? So if you could test this around, and they say, is there the sheet of dependence that you're around somewhere?
Yeah.
Everyone signed it? While these sheets are going around, everyone can sign that sheet.
Why, for instance, the psychological reality wouldn't be, would we say the room on the top one would be okay?
He said one because the psychological reality is even if you don't care about halacha, however, you're not going to get involved in a profession that you don't know anything about, whether you view it as real or not real. Okay, so I'd like to get just two things. One, if there are an answer sheet, if I have one sheet, so I can show you what I'd like to do. And second thing, if there's a sheet of the people who are here, I just want to get to know who you are. Okay, this issue of making certain assumptions and then finding out that these assumptions were false applies to many areas. I mentioned to you that we drink milk based on the fact that we assume that cows are healthy. Let's say we believe in cheese from a cow, and then the cow is shechted, and it turns out that the cow has a hole in its lung. Cheese stayed for a long time. I have cheese in my refrigerator from a year ago, but they are cheese. Do I have to assume, from when should I assume that this animal is not kosher? From yesterday, a month ago, 5 months ago, a year ago, he was born not kosher. So that's the Darkei Moshe wants to compare the animal where we find the problem and a shochet that we find the problem. So that's the Darkei Moshe in Siman Aleph and the Darkei Moshe in Siman Tehel. Darkei Moshe is the Ramah on the tour. And just as the Beis Yosef, as the Machaber, wrote a Perush on the tour, so also the Ramah wrote Hagaos on Tur, and here we have to put these two together, that which you wrote in Siman Aleph and that which you wrote in Siman Pei Aleph. Then we have to see what's the background. Halacha didn't begin with the Darkei Moshe. What's the background of the Darkei Moshe? He's going to make certain assumptions. So I sent you the Tosos of Kulin, the Rosh, again, that which is in the brackets, you can hold for the bitter end, if you want to. I may or may not relate to it, but definitely. And also a Gemara in Kulin and Daf Yud, where we find that we started off with a knife that we had a certain assumption that it's fine. After the Shkita, we see the knife has a nick in it. We're not sure when this nick into the knife. For the Shkita, during the Shkita, after the Shkita, etc. And then to see how the Ramah, who again gave us the background in Siman Aleph and Pei Aleph and Darkei Moshe, how we pass him to Ahl Lamaisa in the Shulchan Aruch. And here, for the first time, sending you to a Shach and a Taz, a Shach to Sitkatam, Zayin and Ches. Sitkatam and Ches, not to the very end. Up to the words, Ogesh Bechali Bekam Gavne Bekabahav. And the Taz, the entire Taz in Sitkatam Vav. Now, I mentioned to you in the Hagdama that the Shach and the Taz wrote their Sfarim independently. But after the Taz was published, it came to the Shach, and he wrote Hagot, he wrote disagreements on the Taz, and when he published his next volume of the Shach, he put in the Taz's Turei Zahav. He would put on it the Kudos Kesel. In other words, he wanted to fix up with a little silver the gold of the Taz, and so we have over here a certain give and take between the Taz and the Shach. And once again, they wrote independently, but after the Shach saw what the Taz wrote, he pointed out why he knew that it was wrong. And again, in brackets over here, Tfu Ashur. The Tfu Ashur is considered to be, in the world of a posting, like the Posek Acharon in the world of Yoruba. And we will find sometimes that Moshe will have a tshuva, that Moshe has a tshuva about using a pen to hold the neck of an animal via the dirt sheet, so they don't hoist, check them hoisting. And he gives his Afisvar, it gives me Kaf Kaka, but since the Tfu Ashur says kakaka, so we're going to have to build a tent according to the Tzvuas Shor. And then the last part is the end of the Shach, which moves over to a different issue. Not that a Shoke, we find out he doesn't know Hilchos Shlita, but we find that this Shoke is no longer from. We find out that he came out of the closet. We find out that he's smoking on Shabbos. Whatever we find out about him, he took a job in a reformed synagogue for Yom Darach. We found out something about him. What does that mean about the Shemitah that he's been doing up to this point? So that the Shach discusses, there's a Taz that discusses in Kribagadim by us in Siman Aleph, and Sifkat Lachet, Kribagadim summarizes the Tfu Ashur. Aleph, Med, Gimel, Dabel. So the Dabel, he deals with the Shohei Chehidir, O Koshea, and Rabbi Akiva Eger, on the Shulchan Aruch, Bet Samachei Dabel into the Sokhsei, as he's related to the Shach, where we talked about this Shochet who changed his spiritual reality. So Rabbi Akiva Eger is made of there as well. Okay, so that's what we'll talk about next time. That begins the Shema Yerusha. And then I think after that we have... I'll be going on... I think last year we'll have to get to September 25th. It'll be a Sunday. So I'd like to still cover with you are particularly the concepts of Mumar, Mumar Bahakis, Mumar Bateyava, what is their status in Halacha, how do we view Jews of different persuasions, different tracts, I don't know what the word is, in terms of Ne'emanus, and we have a chance also to deal a little bit with Shota and Kot. Chayrish nowadays is not a category that's all the nicer applications because the assumption of Chazal that a Chayrish is not a Bardas is that he couldn't be taught. Nowadays, with modern technology, we have ways of teaching Chayrish, so all the nicer is a Bardas. But a Shota is a Shota, and a Kot is a Kot. So we'll have to see what does it mean to be a Kot in Halacha, what is the status of Halacha Kot. And also, to what degree is a shota shota? How do we deal with autism? How do we deal with bipolar? What exactly is considered to be the status of a shota? Ramosh has chivas on the matter.
and Taubes, who is from the back in the TA, second time around. Okay, let me just match faces with